I am certainly overjoyed with the music today. It's always a wonderful experience to have good music. Good music costs. So when we have our business meeting and we bring the budget to you, these folk went to school to learn what they know, and this is how they live. And I was overjoyed to hear there is music when we pick up the offering, and music after. There's something about music helping the worship service. I want to take the moment to thank the musical department, all those who play, and those who give of their service freely. And we thank all of you because it makes us have church. Thank you for visitors and appreciate your presence. I was particularly overjoyed with both renditions because without God's mercy, we wouldn't even be allowed to be in the house today. But I was taken to another place when we heard in that great getting up morning. Yes, sir. Sister Cochran, did you hear that song? And yesterday I was told that Marie Dabney lost her mother. So there is death and sadness in the air. But we thank God there will be a great getting up morning. Fare thee well, fare thee well. So even as we come today, let us come with a hope and an expectancy that God is who he says he is. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So, through Job, our posture should be, though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Thank you so much for being here today. For online worshipers, we enjoy having you. And I'm looking forward to the time when we will get to another level with the for the online folk. I've never been on a television program, but I know they do a thing called prepping. I'm looking forward to my makeup when my face wouldn't shine so much, because you can see me, but maybe I'm not that good looking online. But we go into another level. Is that all right? Amen. Well, you prep me for the. And then we can take it a little further. We can get not just the makeup, but an attendant with a wardrobe. You know, I'm thinking big. And then we can go a little further so that I'm here in time. You have a helicopter. No, not a helicopter. Don't want a helicopter. Somebody will just drive me here. Yeshua for me, that's all right. That's all right. So today I want to come to you with a story, but I don't want you to think you know the story, because it's not going to come the way you've heard it in the past. When we talk of this lady, we talk of the perfume and the ointment and, you know, alabaster box. Well, that's not where I'm coming from today. I have three things I want to share about this story. Father in heaven, speak now your word. Feed us what we need. What we think we want, don't give it to us. Just supply our needs. For we ask in Jesus' name, let the church say, Amen. I want to begin by the way, where's the young man? Oh, he's back. Oh, just let's say amen to the scripture reading. Beautiful. Wonderful. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he would not depart from it. He may depart from the way, but never the training. There's a reason why a guy that is drunk and he sings hymns, because he left the way, but the training is in him. And once it's in you, you can't get rid of it. You remember Jesus having a conversation about hands being washed? And they said, man, you're defiling yourself because you're not washing your hands before you eat. You're not doing it the way the Jews and the Pharisees do it. And Jesus reminded us, as he spake with them, he said, let me tell you something. It is not that which goes into a man that defiles him, but that which comes out of him. So we got to think about what's in us. And if you put the training in and that comes out of him, is the opposite of defilement. One of the Pharisees asked him over for a meal. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at the dinner table. Just then, a woman of the village, what does it say? The town? Harlot. For the young folk who may not know that word, I think it's a 3 or 4. The old folk would know what that means. Just put it in your phone, that means hoe. Tongue harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisee, came in with a bottle of very expensive perfume. I don't know what it was, but whatever we have today, it would be better than that. What is it we have today, Dwight? What is a favorite perfume of women today? White diamonds? All right. Obsession. I'm just trying to see if Dwight buys his wife perfumes. Expensive. Weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet, kissed them, and anointed them with the perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, he wasn't speaking aloud, I wonder sometimes, do we know that God can read our thoughts? He said to himself, if this man was the prophet I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is who is falling all over him. In the Bible, this name is a common name, Mary, but so that we do not have any misconceptions or misunderstandings today, let me take a moment to say who this woman was. Who is this Mary? We are told in John, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Three Marys around the cross. Now after the Sabbath, Matthew tells us, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Who is this Mary? Who is this other Mary? And then Mark tells us who this other Mary is. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James. So the other Mary is Mary, the mother of James. Mary, the wife of Clopas. Mary Magdalene. Mary, the mother of James. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to whom? Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 devils. demons. This Mary we talk about first comes to us from Luke. Read what it says to me, please. So this Mary is not the other three Marys. This is Mary, the sister of Martha and the sister of Lazarus. And we are told that they were from Bethany. The second time we see this woman, read what it says. So we see her again being mentioned, but this time her brother is sick. We see her for a third time. Read what it says.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table.
There is wisdom in reading the Bible properly, because if you just read the text, you will think that they were at Mary and Martha's home and the dinner was for Lazarus. And he was reclining at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Question: when you enter a house, what kind of fragrance emanates? Does your presence bring sweetness? Or do when people hear you coming, they pretend they're not at home? We know that Mary of Bethany was not Mary Magdalene, who met Jesus on resurrection morning, or any other Mary. She was the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Matthew, Mark, and John tell this story, and there is something interesting about the way they tell the story. As they tell the story, they all include the account of Judas or others at the dinner table complaining that Mary could have used the money for philanthropic work. You could have done something great with the money. Matthew tells the story. He includes that. Mark tells it. He includes it. And John tells it. Read what John says. Interesting. He's complaining that this perfume, this expensive perfume, it could have been sold so that poor people can eat. And John tells us that he was complaining because he was in charge of the money. And he kept the bag. And so as money was put into the bag, he would help himself. So he was really saying, hey, this perfume could have been sold and I could have gotten more money. We got to be careful when we're complaining. We need to ask ourselves, what really is behind the motive for our complaining? Is this really the poor, or are we trying to help ourselves? So we know who Mary was. She was the sister of Martha and the sister of Lazarus. But now, who is this Simon? We're talking about the truth about Mary and Simon. Who is this Simon? Mark 14:3 tells us, and while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon, the what? The leper. He's identified. You know, you have to have some kind of you know, West Indian reading to the text. Because West Indians usually identify people by something. If they're describing somebody, they say, oh, you know the man with the big head. That's how we do. But this guy may have been West Indian because he identifies Simon as the leper. He didn't say anything else. In case you want to know who Simon was, he said, Simon the leper. As he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. And while he was at Bethany, in the house of whom? Simon. He was not in Mary and Martha's house with Lazarus. This meeting took place in Simon's house. Read what Ellen White says about it.
Simon had been healed of leprosy, and it was this that had drawn him to Jesus. He desired to show his gratitude, and at Christ's last visit to Bethany, he made a feast for the Savior and his disciples. At the table, the Savior sat with Simon, whom he had cured of a loathsome disease, and on one side, and Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead, on the other.
That's a very wonderful scene. There is a table, and Jesus is at the table. I don't know about you, but it is a reassuring thing to have Jesus at my table. And here on one hand is a man who was healed of leprosy, and on the other hand, one who was raised from the dead. When Jesus is present, he would heal of the leprosy of sin. And when Jesus is present, he would raise us from the dead of a sinful life. Here is Jesus at the table. Is Jesus at your table? They're reclining. And while they're at the table, Ellen White continues, a council of the priests and Pharisees was called. Since the raising of Lazarus, the sympathies of the people were so fully with Christ that it would have been dangerous to seize upon him openly. Thus, they proposed to destroy Jesus. But listen to this now. But, read what it says. But so long as Lazarus lived, the priests and rabbis knew that they were not secure. And so this brings me to this very important statement from Ellen White. The very existence of a man who had been 4 days in the grave and who had been restored by a word from Jesus would sooner or later cause a reaction. And so my first point, Devontae, is this. Does your existence cause a reaction in people? Put it another way. The presence of Lazarus simply says that your life should be all the evidence the world needs to know that Jesus is indeed the Savior. Amen. Here is Lazarus. He is alive, and his very life says Jesus is powerful. Jesus is in Bethany, so you understand the topography of the place. And I was blessed to having been to Israel 3 times. Think of the Mount of Olives, is really a hill. On the right side, as you descend the mountain, is a small town called Bethany. On the left side is a little valley called the Kidron Valley. And just beyond the valley is Jerusalem. So Jesus is in Bethany at Simon's house as a guest for a meal, because Simon says, you healed me of my leprosy, And while Jesus is there, watch this now, there are religious people in Jerusalem plotting to kill Jesus. We're going to get him. But they are so wise, they understood if we kill Jesus, but Lazarus is still alive, the people will know that Jesus is powerful. So we got to get rid of Lazarus too. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes folk may want to kill you, but what they really want to kill is the Jesus in you. I'm reminded of one of those songs. I know Sister Kathy wouldn't know the song. Mary, Mary, is the God in me? It's the God in me. So Lazarus, his life was really not in so important, except that it testified that Jesus lives. That's right. The Sanhedrin therefore decided that Lazarus also must what? Die. When is the last time someone wants to kill you? To such lengths to deny, to do envy and prejudice lead their slaves. The hatred and unbelief of the Jewish leaders had increased until they would even take the life of one whom infinite power had rescued from the grave. Make no mistake about it, the devil will try to kill you. Even if God had rescued you from the grave. They said, we're going to kill Jesus, but we can't kill Jesus and leave the evidence that Jesus is powerful. And the question is, what is the reaction the world has about you? Is your life, is my life evidence that Jesus is the Savior of the world? It can't be evidence if he hasn't saved you. It's okay to tell somebody what Jesus did for your father. It's okay to tell somebody what Jesus did for your mother. But as the song says, Devontae, sing it for me. It's not my mother. Not my sing it up for me, please.
Not my mother, not my
I said talk it, sing it. But it's me, Ola. Who can sing that song? Let's sing it together. We can cut the spay. Right. Amen. Better mind. Wonderful. Wonderful. We appreciate that, Sister Porter. Thank you so much. But it's the evidence has to be about you. It's not my mother. It's not. You can say what God has done for people you know, but the best testimony you can say is what God has done for you. They were going to kill Lazarus. So who is this Simon? This Simon was a leper. Have you ever been to a place in life where people shunned you? And if they didn't do it openly, you knew they did it behind your back? He had to walk around saying, unclean, unclean. Back in the day, a leper could not come within 50 feet of anybody. If he came within 50 feet, there were stones available to tell him, don't come closer. I don't know about you, but I am just so thankful that we have a Savior. It doesn't matter how smelly we are, we can go close up to him. Amen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? Give you rest. We have a Jesus, in spite of how leprous we may be, and how others may say, get away from me. Jesus' message is come unto me, because Jesus is the only one who knows how to clean us up. Simon is this guy who was a leper, was healed, and is given a feast, and Simon got a problem. Mary comes with her brother, and she brings a gift. And Simon says to himself, man, I know you cured me, and I thought you were all of that, but I'm really second guessing now, because if you were the kind of man you say you are, you would have known who is this harlot that is touching you. And so Jesus has a conversation. Simon, I have something to say to you. Oh, tell me, Jesus. Two men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up, and so the banker canceled both debts. Which of the two would be more grateful? Simon answered, I suppose the one who was forgiven the most. That's right, said Jesus. Then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening me up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many sins, and so she's very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. Then he spoke to her, I forgive you your sins. Read what Ellen White says about what just transpired.
As did Nathan with David, Christ concealed his home for us under the veil of a parable. He threw upon his host the burden of pronouncing sentence upon himself. Simon had led him into sin, the woman he now despised. She had been deeply wronged by him.
Do you know what you just read? Simon had been one of her customers. He had led into sin the one he now despised. She had been deeply wronged by him. Sigmund Freud, the noted psychologist, talks about defense mechanisms. And you know what they are. They're famous: denial, rationalization, projection. Projection is very interesting. Because projection says, I'm going to put on you what really I have inside. We saw it played out. We saw it played out in 2016. The one who was speaking the loudest about an election being rigged was the one who was saying to the Russians, come on over to my place. Come and help me win this election. Be careful about people who are attacking you. Sometimes they're the biggest sinners on the planet. Here is Simon, who had been, you know, Cecil Tang. I know you're senior among us, but your memory is still intact. You know. All right. Here is Simon saying within himself, if only Jesus knew the kind of woman. Simon, you've been with her. Read what it says. Simon was self-righteous. And my second point is, self-righteousness makes us blind to our own hypocrisy. He's in the house. It's my house. I'm giving a feast. And Mary messing things up with perfume on Jesus. It's my party. and I can do what I want. And Jesus is listening to a guy attacking a woman with whom the very thing he says she was, he was one of her customers. Self-righteousness makes us blind to our own hypocrisy. I like the way Ellen White explains it, because we may leave thinking because one guy was forgiven 10 times more than the other, 50 to 500. Read what Ellen White says. But Simon felt himself what? More righteous than Mary. Wow. Wow, wow. How could Simon think he was more righteous than Mary? And Jesus desired him to see how great his guilt really was. He would show him that his sin was greater than hers. So much greater as a debt of 500 pence exceeds a debt of 50 pence. Come on, Simon, Jesus was saying. Come on, Simon. You both owe me a debt that you can't repay. You both, but if you want to talk in human terms, Simon, you should be the last one talking. So here we are. Your life should be all the evidence the world needs to know that Jesus is indeed Savior. Self-righteousness makes us blind to our own hypocrisy. And my last point today is, Christ is, read what it says.
Christ is still in the saving business, if only we will let him.
Well, why did I say that? I'm so glad you asked. Simon was touched by the kindness of Jesus. Ellen White speaking, Desire of Ages. Matter of fact, read what it says for me.
Simon was touched by the kindness of Jesus and not only rebuking him before death.
Hold a minute right there. Hold a minute right there. Because some of us think we have such a responsibility to point out sin. Ellen White was saying Jesus did not openly rebuke him. Continue.
He had not been treated as he desired.
Hold a minute right there. He had not been what? Treated as he desired. The next time you pick up a stone, ask yourself if Jesus has treated you the way you deserve before you're ready to throw it at somebody else. He had not been treated as he desired Mary to be treated. He wanted Mary to get it. And what was the message Mary was to get? You don't belong near Jesus. Well, the truth is, the sinner belongs near Jesus. Continue. He saw. Jesus has the big goal in mind, Sister Rachel. The goal is to save Simon. Not to make Simon look small in his house with his guests. Sometimes our goal is to embarrass and to condemn and to let the person know just how bad a person you are. But Jesus' goal is salvation. I'm going to give this guy a chance, is what Jesus is saying. I wouldn't openly rebuke him because Jesus read his mind. But Jesus also knew where he was, when he was there, and what he was doing, and with whom. Jesus could have exposed him. Here you are trying to deny someone from coming close to Jesus, and Jesus got the goods in you, we need to be like Jesus. Because you know how we do. Eric, you know how we do. We got our stones. And we're ready to tell you what the law of Moses said. Who should be stoned? But there's a word in the English language that I think it would be fitting for us to be the embodiment of that word. It's called graciousness. Graciousness is that you are right. You know you're right with what you're saying. You can win the argument, but you're gracious. You're gracious to let the other person have an opportunity for salvation. Jesus was being gracious to Simon. And read what Ellen White says. Wow. The proud Pharisee became a lowly, self-sacrificing disciple. In other words, for translation, in the earth made new, sitting at the table would be Simon and Mary. He became a self-sacrificing disciple. Don't remove the word lowly. Lowly simply means the man was humbled. He understood life now. He said to himself, Jesus, thank you so much. And in response, he repented. That's a big part of it. It's not that he continued being what he was. He repented. That's important for all of us today. But in that great getting up morning, Simon, Mary, Lazarus, they're going to be at that table. The people that would not be there were those that were back in Jerusalem, the Mecca, plotting how they're going to kill Jesus. Mary had been looked upon as a great sinner. What kind of sinner?
Great sinner.
But Christ knew the circumstances. Say circumstances, everybody.
Circumstances.
Listen, folk. You may be here, but people don't know your circumstance. Psalm 87 verse 6 says, when the Lord writes up the people, he will consider that this man was born there. Simply means that when God judges us individually, he knows where you came from. He knows you came from a single parent household. He knows the disadvantages you had. He knows you came from a two-parent family and the advantages you had. You see, when God judges us, he understands the circumstances. So before we say Mary was a harlot, Jesus says, Ellen White says, Christ knew the circumstances that had what? Shaped her life. We don't know how people's lives have been shaped. And yet, we're so quick with a stone. We're so quick. You may see people laugh and smile with them, but they're just putting on a front. You don't know their circumstances. Some people put on clothes to make them feel good, but they feel worthless. Because in their life experiences, they got the message, you're damaged goods. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's what some folks say. But Jesus knew her what? Circumstances, and that had what? Shaped her life. He might have extinguished every spark of hope in her soul, but he did not. It was he who had lifted her from despair and ruin. In other words, without Jesus, Mary was lost. Question. Is your presence among others lifting them from despair and ruin? Or is your presence telling them they're lost? Devontae, get on the piano there, please. We got a doctor's pay. Your life, play anything, sing anything, it doesn't matter to me. Your life should be all the evidence. The world needs to know that Jesus is indeed Savior. Lazarus was alive, and his life said, man, this man is living testimony of Jesus. Number two, self-righteousness makes us blind to our own hypocrisy. But I thank God that Christ is still in the saving business if only we will let him. Simon let him. Jesus spoke to Simon. Simon could have gotten an attitude, wait, Jesus, hold a minute. You're my house. You know, you're telling me I didn't give you water, I didn't do anything for you, but Simon listened, humbled himself, recognizing Jesus could have said more. And he responded. Ellen White says he became a lowly, self-sacrificing disciple. The truth about Simon and Mary is not that they once got together. The truth about Simon and Mary is that they're going to be in the kingdom. What is your truth today? I want to be in the kingdom. What about you? I want to be in the kingdom. So I'm saying to God, help my life to be evident that you are who you say you are. Help me not to be too judgmental of others. Help me not to be hypocritical, knowing that sometimes the very people who complain about something, they are the most guilty of the same thing. But most of all, Jesus, when you've given me a chance and you didn't expose me and you didn't rebuke me openly, may I respond to that and become a lowly, self-sacrificing disciple. The truth about Simon and Mary is that they will both be in the kingdom. I want to be there. What about you? Father in heaven, come on, sing for me, Polk. Do you love Jesus more than anything? If you love Jesus, stand with me. Heavenly Father, today we recognize there is a little Mary in some of us. We have a history in the past that we don't want to recall, but we're thankful for Jesus, who in his kindness knows how to bring people from the gutter onto sitting at the table with Jesus. There's a little Simon in some of us. We've been given mercy. The leprosy of sin has been removed, but yet we seem not to want to give that to others. Remind us, Father, that self-righteousness is no righteousness. And then, Father, may we respond because you're still in the saving business. Be with that worshiper today who came in feeling like damaged goods, but is leaving empowered because of the presence of Jesus. Show us the truth, not of Simon and Mary, but show us the truth that we too will be in the kingdom. Thank you for Jesus. For this we pray in his name. Let the saints all say, amen.